Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we are once again running into the woods and the bogs to try to find the mysterious skimwalkers and wendigos that people seem to be so infatuated with. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help this channel keep going. Now, without wasting any more time, let's get into these creepy skimwalker and wendigo stories that will freak you out. After hearing some of your stories on your channel, I got some courage to finally tell mine. I never opened up about this, and I've never told anyone. This happened a couple years ago in mid-October in northern New Mexico. My brother and I went up to our ranch to do some coyote hunting, as we had just lost some calves to them. On the way up, we picked up some fresh roadkill to get the attention of the coyotes. We throw the dead rabbit in the middle of the field, and we sat high on formation of rocks, overlooking the property. We were sitting about arm's length away from each other, but facing different directions. I was watching the north side, glancing through my scope to watch the tree line. My brother was watching the south end, and after about an hour of waiting, he tells me, "Look, something just spooked the cows. They're all running away." I turned to face the same direction, and we both got prepared to shoot it if it was a coyote. Once the cows cleared the area, the only thing to walk out of the tree line was a deer. This wasn't just any deer. It was a monster buck. The body and antlers on this thing were huge. It looked like a small elk. Other than the size, there was nothing abnormal about this deer, I guess. I have to guess we watched it for a few minutes grazing at least 250 yards away. I whispered to my brother to take a picture of this buck so we can show our friends, since we had a deer hunt coming up in the next few weeks, and this buck would make an amazing trophy. This is where it gets crazy. It was like the deer heard me whisper. He looked straight at both of us, holding the stare for a few seconds. Then it began to grow. While its body was changing, it let out this gut-wrenching roar that made my eyes and ears hurt. I know what you're saying. How did your eyes hurt? I don't know either. Something about looking at this while it screamed at me just made them ache. All of a sudden, this deer was now standing on its hind legs. I stayed in more of a shocked state when the deer started to yell. At first, it sounded like gibberish, just making weird sounds, but it finished off by clearly saying, "You humans are doomed." It ran to the dead rabbit and grabbed it while it cleared the whole property in seconds. There are several hundred acres of land, but that thing was out of sight in a blink of an eye. My brother and I sat there trying to see if we could figure out what the heck this thing was, or if we were just seeing things, because honestly we felt crazy in that moment. We decided not to talk about it with anyone in fear of being laughed at, or being accused of drinking or being on drugs, which we both don't do in all honesty. Now, fast forward to our hunting trip. It was my brother, two friends, and myself. We took a camper to the ranch, and the first night one of our friends kept seeing red eyes in one of the camper windows. He said he could hear breathing next to the window while he was laying down as well. My brother and I pretended like it didn't happen, and told our friend he was just excited for the hunt tomorrow. But we both had freaked out because, honestly, in the back of our minds, we knew what it was, and we were constantly checking out the window. Once the morning came, we split up into two groups. My brother and a friend decided to take the public land a few miles away from the ranch, while our other friend and I would circle the property. We returned to the camper for lunch with no luck. While we were cooking, I noticed my brother seemed nervous and was acting funny, and our friend thought he was sick. Before we started eating, my brother asked if he can speak with me alone for a moment. We walk away and he started to tell me what happened after we split up. As the two drove away from the camper, our friend got out of the truck to open the gate. He told me that as he was waiting, he just happened to turn his head and saw antlers behind some bushes. That's when the thing stood up and my brother realized that it was the creature. Again, standing on its hind legs, and it smiled with fangs showing. He continued by saying that it didn't talk during this encounter, but he could somehow hear its thoughts. He claimed the creature was able to communicate telepathically, and he was told that our land is cursed and that our lives are in danger if we are not careful, because he would be hunting us and he will kill us the first opportunity he gets. Just by hearing my brother talk, you can hear the concern in his voice, as it really shook him up. We both decided to leave that night. We just told our friends that we were called in by work, and we had to show up due to an emergency. We would have used any excuse to leave at that point. It's been 3 years since this happened. We haven't seen the creature, but we still know it's around. We have lost multiple cattle throughout the years and they've all been killed in super strange ways. Like full-grown bulls hanging in trees, or an entire carcass left behind without a drop of blood. We obviously still go to the ranch, but we're all well-armed. Although I have a feeling a bullet wouldn't kill this creature anyway, we just don't feel comfortable in the mountains anymore. I know it sounds crazy, but there really are strange things out there. And thank you, Swamp Dweller, for sharing my story. I know it sounds a bit fantastic. This happened when I was a small child, probably around 4, after I experienced what I know now was a near-death experience. I was with my grandmother, who was very healthy, still is very healthy for a 70-year-old woman. We went trekking across our property with a picnic basket in tow, just looking to sit down with our dog and have a nice time. Normal grandparent stuff. We ended up crossing the creek. It was dry at the time. To go back to the pasture. Nearby, probably maybe 50 yards away, was our cedar tree. We sat down and started eating when our dog started acting crazy. This dog, bless her soul, was an angel. It did not act like a dog most of the time, though. She rarely ever barked, never really jumped, and always acted very polite. She went nuts, running in circles around us, growling and barking and just acting so vicious, something so out of character for this dog. My grandmother got concerned, so she put our picnic stuff back in the basket and tried to calm her down. I was sitting a few feet away, scared because my dog was growling and acting very out of character. I will admit my memory gets a bit fuzzy around this point, but I remember seeing a very large, gray creature step out of the creek and tree line. We had previously just walked through that area, which is why I remember it being so creepy. My grandmother scooped me up and booked it out of there as fast as possible. Our dog was running with us. I am 90% sure she ran to the cedar tree. She always talks about it being her favorite tree and how protective it is. The tree was a lot closer than her house, which was roughly a half mile away at this point. I just know our dog calmed down and I was happier once we got to that tree. I don't live in the Southwest. I live in the South Central / East area of Arkansas, close to Louisiana. So I have no idea what this thing could be. Some people say skinwalkers, but like I said, I don't live in the Southwest. Some people say Wendigo, but I don't live up north. So I'm not exactly sure what this is, but if anybody knows, and you can comment down below, please let me know. I lived in the mountains of New Mexico, so there was almost never any people, so it was very quiet. This happened around when I was 8, but I remember it very well. We lived on a lot of land, so I would run and find this old stuff, and one afternoon I wandered around this large rock. The sun was setting, but I was so drawn to this little mini cave I found. I was losing daylight, but I continued my search. I should tell you, I was a very small 8-year-old girl, almost frail. As I climbed in, it was much bigger than it appeared. I wasn't all the way in, I was just at the entrance, but that was enough for me to see a deer, 2 rabbits, and this water-like liquid all over the wall. I just figured they fell in, but how could they? I could barely fit in. I sat there for a while, dumbfounded, just staring at this thing, trying to observe anything I could of this cave. On the other side was another entrance, but it was blacked out, with what looked like a small childlike body, but too skinny, with gray skin. It looked like the skin was also splitting. It almost looked like it had black blood oozing out of it. It only dressed with animal skin. I started to try and leave, but then suddenly, it started to rip something. I was trembling. I could hear this thing ripping apart what sounded like an animal. Terrified, but I just couldn't help but look. It just somehow commanded my attention. Blood was being splattered as it ripped apart the animal. With the last bit of daylight, I saw its eyeless socket and one bright orange, almost brown eye, and large animal-like ears, and long, skinny claws emerged from the animal's flesh. I scrambled out and ran back home. I looked back, but the cave was covered with the rocks, but I continued running. When I got home, I didn't tell my mom or my dad, thinking they wouldn't believe me. I live in Colorado now, and I miss the mountains, but not the ones in New Mexico. I still remember the gray skin, the orange eye. But note this, I'm half Native American, so that leaves a few things that this thing could have been. Some people are under the assumption it was a skinwalker. Me, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe somebody in the comments would let me know. I know my story was kind of short, but thank you for sharing it anyway, Swamp. Before I begin, I am a 16-year-old male. About 3 years ago, I was in Virginia visiting family over summer. We were right outside the DC area and staying in a 2-story house near the freeway. On the other side of the freeway was a forest. So my mom, her boyfriend Eric, and I were all staying at Eric's parents' house. We had brought some night vision binoculars and decided that tonight was the perfect time to use them. So, after dinner, we gear up and head out. We pass under the freeway and into the woods. When we got about 5 minutes into the forest, we set down our bag and take out our binoculars. My mom looks around with them for a while, seeing a few squirrels here and there. She gets tired of them and passes them to me. I look around for a while, being careful not to look at the freeway for fear of being blinded. I spot something behind a tree, about 50 feet to our left. I concentrate on it, trying to figure out what it was. It looks like a pale, bald anorexic man, looking straight at us from behind the tree. I start to get a bit uneasy, but I'm hesitant to believe it's really there. I ask Eric to take a look, just in case. To my despair, he sees it too. He describes it much the same way I did. Now, Eric is a former amateur boxer, and I train MMA almost every day. But neither of us wants to stick around with that thing. We start heading back to the house, crossing under the freeway. We take another look behind us as a car comes by. All three of us see a pair of glowing eyes, lit up by the headlights on the other side of the freeway. We say F that, and head back to the house as quick as we can. When we get back, Eric's parents are asleep and my mom and Eric go upstairs to the guest room. There's only one guest room, so I have the couch downstairs. I'm a little too excited after seeing that thing in the woods, so I end up staying up all night. Sometime, probably around 3 a.m., I'm watching TV and start hearing footsteps above me. I immediately remember our earlier encounter and panic a little bit. I try to calm down and tell myself it's just one of the dogs or maybe someone who couldn't sleep. I keep hearing the footsteps for a while until I hear a doorknob jiggle. I find it weird that they're trying to open a locked door, but try to ignore it. They stop, walk around for a few more minutes, and then before I hear anything, it's quiet again. I stay up until the sun starts coming up and then pass out. My mom wakes me up and I remember the footsteps from the night before. I describe what happened and ask if one of them got up at any time. She says no, and I think it must have been one of the dogs. That until she tells me, the room above me is the office. No one was in the office and the door stays locked at night. My heart sinks as I piece it all together. I don't know if it was that thing for sure, but I think it was. I've done a lot of research since then, trying to figure out what this thing could have possibly have been. I found two creatures that seemed to match it. I think it was either a skinwalker or a wendigo. Whichever one it was, I'm just thankful that that door was locked. I know I wouldn't be able to fight that thing no matter how tough I am. To start this story off and give a little insight about me, I am an 18-year-old female who grew up in Michigan and have lived in the country for as long as I can remember. And for the heads up, this is a long story, so please bear with me. Now, back to the story. On one particular hot summer weekend, me and a couple of friends, including my boyfriend, let's call him Tony, and my older brother, let's call him Brad, decided we were gonna go camping for the weekend, since it was such a nice warm week. Tony's parents had owned a cabin out in Ludington, surrounded by a huge wooded area with a personal lake and no neighbors for at least 4 miles. But being stupid teenagers, we didn't really think about that. All we were ready for was to party, as any normal teen would. Well, after being there for 2 hours or so, our fun had started. Tony's friends had bought tons of alcohol and weed to last us for the weekend, so we wouldn't be bored since we had no service and only movies to watch. After it got around 12 a.m. and was pitch black, we had a huge bonfire going. It was a total of 6 people, including me and Tony. As we walked and laughed about our upcoming events in our lives, we were so distracted that we didn't notice that my brother had literally frozen his eyes on the section of the woods near us. Mind you, we were all intoxicated and high at the time. Eventually, our talking ceased, when realizing Tony and his friend and my brother had an emotionless expression. "Hey dude, you alright?" he asked Brad. Silence. Brad didn't reply, or even make any movements that would indicate he heard him. After that, I started to get scared as well, as the other 2 girls there. It took a lot for my brother to act that way. Eventually, I was the first to catch on that he was excessively staring into a certain spot in the woods. I turned my head and followed his gaze the best I could, and when I finally caught on to what he was staring at, my heart dropped. There, right there in front of us was, at first look, a dog. At least that's what I thought. It was some person dog that wandered off. Somebody's pet must have gotten out, right? But then, my brain kicked in, and I realized there weren't neighbors for miles. So how could there be a dog? My mind started to race while Tony still tried to get Brad to speak or even move. In one motion, this thing stood up tall. And when I say tall, I mean freaking gigantic. It had to be at least 6 foot tall. Everyone saw it then. How could you not? The other 2 girls and the other boys with us gasped as they finally grasped what my brother was still as a stick. No one moved for what felt like hours. Tony was the first to talk. No tail, he mumbled. No one heard what he said but Brad, and I swear to you, when I say this, his eyes widened as big as pan saucers. That freaked me out. Immediately. What did you say? One of the girls asked. It has no freaking tail, he hissed at her. My heartbeat stopped. He was right. There was no tail on this thing. Suddenly, my clouded alcohol mind cleared up in a fraction of a second when I really realized what we were seeing, what this thing was. We've heard so many stories about them as children. Now I understood why my brother was basically shitting his pants. This thing was a skinwalker. My instincts kicked in right then and there, and before I could nope the heck out of there, the thing let out a horrible stench, like rotting meat, before screaming some inhuman-like scream. The sound was enough to scare the heck out of everyone. My brother was the first up and out of his chair and started shouting native words to the creature. I told everyone to get the heck inside. No one questioned me when they saw just how deadly serious I was. Especially Tony. He's never seen me so scared, so he knew it was a bad situation. We all hightailed it into the cabin with my brother in tow, still shouting native words at the creature, which seemed to keep it at bay while it gave us enough time to get inside. He slammed and locked the door before turning off all the lights and grabbing special ash from the kitchen counters, and started throwing them at every window and door while chanting. Of course, he had everyone freaked out and basically in tears at that moment. After he was done, no one said a word for a long time. All of us were kind of in shock. He grabbed our dad's pistol and posted by him for many hours. Everyone was entirely done, so no one said a word at all. We must have fallen asleep eventually because I woke up to my brother packing all our stuff into two cars early in the morning. I understood why. We have a native family. We knew what we were dealing with, and we knew it would come back and maybe not alone. Before we left, I did a blessing on the cabin and spoke a few calming words to the still very freaked out girls. We left as soon as we could. To this day, we still haven't explained exactly to our friends what happened that night, and they never bothered to ask us again. Okay, so I have no idea what we saw exactly that night. I've searched everywhere for sightings or even myths, and nothing really comes up. If anyone has any idea what we saw, or even if anyone else has seen it, please let me know. My husband and I think it could be a Wendigo, but I don't know. I haven't heard anyone else say they've seen anything like it in RRG. I guess I want to help figure out what we saw so I know what to do. After the night I'm about to describe, I think we've had some close encounters with it since, but I can't be sure. My friends and I go camping a lot, and my favorite place to go is Red River Gorge, Kentucky. We go there often, and I've been there since I was an infant. I am 28 now, married with a kid, and still go. It is the closest place to where I live that you can go see the Milky Way pretty much every night. It's perfect for stargazing, and I've seen a shooting star every clear night that I've been there. When we go without our kid, we will night hike to a good lookout point and stargaze for hours. Our first experiences night hiking, we would go to the trails we knew well and were used frequently during the day, ones with log fences and gazebo resting places. The most used trail is in Natural Bridge State Park that leads up to the Natural Bridge. This trail is around 2 miles uphill depending on your starting point. I've done this trail every summer of my life and could do it blindfolded at this point. It has wooden steps, carved rock steps, long handrails, multiple sitting points under a roof, trash cans, but after reaching the main trailhead, it has no lights at all. It's used often, and while it's uphill, the difficulty is low. As long as you have a good grip on your shoes and water, you'll be fine. My friends have done it with me multiple times and are confident in it as well. Hiking this trail at night is not allowed, but it's the woods and I've never really been one to care about closing times for the literal outside. When we used this main trail to hike to the top, we would park in a lot designated for the pool in Hoedown Island. You walk across the road that leads to the pool, and you're at the first trail marker. You go up gravel for a while and pass the Natural Bridge State Park Lodge. There's a waterfall and some lights, so it's best to go fast and watch out for rangers that would tell us to leave. Then you walk across another road and there's a mini shelter to sit in, or a small rock wall to rest your legs. Then, it's the beginning of the trail to the top. The night was weird to begin with. As soon as we started to hike, the clouds started to take over, and it appeared we'd been walking for nothing to even stargaze at. But we went anyway just in case it cleared out by the time we got up there. In the beginning, it was just normal paranoia that was keeping us stressed and quiet, it seemed. You know you've reached the bottom of the bridge when you see a giant wall of limestone. During this time, there was a gazebo that set to the right of this wall, and the trail continued and followed to the next wall. Where you come from is a fairly steep part of the trail, and the gazebo is welcomed. My husband, my best friend at the time, and I sit on the gazebo steps. The bench is under a roof and even darker than the rest of the outside, so we just stayed on the steps, facing to where we were looking down, the trail that follows the limestone wall. We each have a bright LED headlamp and a handheld flashlight. We don't usually look at each other when we are night hiking because the lights are so bright. We sit in a line like the Lord's Supper and walk in a line or staggered so we don't blind ourselves. It is after hours at this point, so no ski lift rides had gone for hours and the rangers had already done their sweep and left right before we got out of the car and headed up. We left no time between them making sure the trail and the top were clear and us starting our hike. The ski lift takes you up to the top, but there are workers that stay and do counts and only leave after it's clear. I guess I have to make these points because that's what I was thinking when it what seemed out of nowhere, a girl with a headlamp begins to walk down the trail we are on. She is in a sundress and flip-flops. The hike is uphill. While it's fairly easy to hike, it's not easy with water shoes or no real shoes. She'd have to have hiked down at this point with no food or water. Her light was bright, and when she reached where the trail turns from in front of the gazebo to down where she was at, she stopped. She just stood there straight on like how a human is presented in an anatomical drawing. She was looking directly at us. Sitting there in her light made her bring my hand up to shield my eyes. She didn't turn away from our lights at all, or even seem bothered that she had six LED lights aimed directly at her face. I said, "Hello?" She said, kind of with a pause between every word, something like, "Hello, how are you?" I said something like, "Good, how are you?" And she took even longer pauses and said, "Oh, I'm fine." She then just stood there still with her hands to her side and facing and staring at us. Her light made it impossible to really see her face, and it was so bright I had my hand up the entire time until she turned away and walked slowly down the part that she had come up. She got to a part where the trail turned and we saw her light just stay in that one spot for a minute until she turned and the light faded out of sight. We wait for a while before continuing up. I kept making comments about how weird that was, and everyone else just made it out to be like me being afraid or something. But no one ever came after that. She had done this hike alone, apparently. At night, though? And somehow, without being found by any ranger? We got up a bit, and started back up to the top. It felt like it took much longer than it ever had in the past. But we made it to the top. There are stone steps named Fat Man Squeeze that get you to the top of the bridge, and you can walk across it whenever. Going up and being on top, we could hear twigs snapping, almost alternating from left, then the right. We lay down and try to stargaze, but the clouds are even thicker now. It was miserably hot. We could hear voices at times, and my husband kept checking for people. He never saw anyone, though. We saw a light flash, and never saw anyone attached to it. And then we heard a bird call. But it wasn't like a real bird noise at all. It sounded like a person making bird calls, like rhythmic, and not really natural. I wasn't convinced we were alone, and hadn't been alone, but also, I'm the most easily spooked. I asked to leave as soon as they were ready, and they were ready right then and there. And that scared me. That they were just as afraid as me at this point. We began going down the way we had come, and it felt like it was taking so long. We were going steady and quick, and it was downhill, but we were not making any ground, it seemed. It's hard to explain, but it was so weird that at one point I even said it out loud. This feels so much longer. And they agreed with me. I keep looking behind me with the flashlight, and my husband kept looking to the sides, and my friend kept hers mostly forward. I kept feeling watched and couldn't figure out what footsteps were ours and if they were all ours that I heard. I would turn in the direction of any noise but not see anything. When my husband was walking, he kept saying he was catching eyes in his flashlight. Usually, you can catch raccoon eyes spying on you or some animal like that. He was afraid maybe a bear or a big dog or something was stalking us, and he never got his lights on whatever eyes they were so long enough that he could see the size or shape. Now, we're hiking down semi-flattish area, compared to the downhill hike we've been doing at least. The log fence or handrail or whatever is called is on our right side. We are in a row walking within reaching distance of this barrier, and my husband just stops walking altogether and says, "What's that?" But the question is more of an alert, and I move my headlamp in the direction and don't see anything at first. Then, both of his lights catch a shape, and then my headlamp catches it, and I move my headlamp to the center and catch it while my friend simultaneously finds it in her lights as well. All six lights shine onto this kind of reflection off this light gray creature. It is bent in a crouching position, kneeling on its right leg, and starts turning towards us. It starts to slowly stand, and its mind is racing still. It looks human, but it's way too big. People mistaken human shapes for what's actually bears in the woods often, but this is just, like, starvingly skinny. It is thin and big and almost white. It's so light gray and its skin resembles dolphin skin. There's a shine to it, and our lights get reflected a little when they're on it. It gradually comes to a full standing position in front of us. Its head is long and its eyes are in a human position on the face, in front, and not on the sides like animals, but I could not see any other facial features. Just big, almost empty holes or pits, that's where its eyes should have been. It looked directly at us in our lights. The way it stood was intimidating, almost like when a snake raises up and flexes their necks all crazy to show prey that they're stronger and smarter. It was like it was stepping up into a fight. From crouching, then turning to standing in front of us, the arms hung down low and the hams seemed too long. Its hands had to be by its knees. I guess it stood 9 feet or so, and not that far in front of us. No hair at all, and its head was large as well. I couldn't process what I saw and was frozen. Then, I just feel my husband hitting me on the back and yelling, "Run, run, run!" I start to understand we have to get away from this thing, and it pivots and runs to the right, going backward on the trail so it could go around the barrier and onto the trail behind us. We take off running the rest of the way down the trail, knowing that this thing just took off much faster than us, and after it had crossed from behind the barrier, it would be gaining on us quick. We didn't talk at all, because when we tried it felt almost like we were gonna get caught. We kept running as fast as we could, but some areas are so steep, it never felt like we were out of sight from this creature. As we made it to the beginning of the trail, with the gravel, we could hear something to the side crashing down through the forest. We ran until we got to the car, and then we drove as fast as we could, and as soon as we got to the main road, things seemed to clear up, and the stars were out again. When that thing looked at us, I knew it was smarter and faster than us. I knew that if we hadn't seen it, we would have been messed up. It would have gotten us. I think the only reason it hesitated was that so many of us were there at once, and we stayed together. I think the only reason it hesitated was that so many of us seen it at once, and we all stayed together. When we made it back to where we were staying, all of us took out our phones and wrote a note to say that we saw what happened. We hadn't spoken about it until after we looked at each other's phones and the stories were the same. Without a doubt, we all had seen something that was real. Thanks for listening to these creepy Skimwalker and Wendigo stories. I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to meet any of these creatures. Something about them just freaks me out, man. But I still love exploring the woods regardless, and no skinwalker or Wendigo-go is going to stop me from taking my weekly hikes. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a skinwalker story or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And by the way, if you made it to the end, be sure to comment down below, "Flesh-hungry Wendigo," to let me know that you made it to the very end.